The text for the day is the gospel lesson that we have just heard. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Many years ago, I had just conducted one of my first weddings. I was taking off my robe in the vestry when the photographer for the day stopped by. He told me that he had appreciated the beauty of the day. He had found the message to be particularly appropriate for the occasion, the sorts of things that you say to young pastors who are trying to find their way in their new settings. He had only one concern. He said, "It's unfortunate that some people do not realize that weddings are not good places to bring small children." There was a mother sitting in the back with a small child that she was struggling with the whole time, very distracting. But you didn't seem to let it bother you. You just went right on. I said, "Well, that's probably because it was my son." "Oh," he said, "I really stuck my foot in my mouth that time. And on a day filled with heavy obligations for both of us, we had a chance to laugh. But you know, that didn't make him wrong. Very distracting." It was early in the story of Jesus, as Mark tells it. Jesus had called the first of his disciples, and now he was ready to begin his public ministry. This is the first event that Mark tells us about. Jesus entered the synagogue at Capernaum, and unlike John the Baptizer, he didn't just preach, but he taught. Mark tells us right away at the start of the story the reaction of the crowd, because something is going to happen in a moment that will try to upset everything. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority. They were amazed at what God was doing, and it was clear that something was going to happen. Here was a person who did not simply repeat the hopes and dreams of the past 700 years with his own refinements, but his was a new old message, and clearly he was making something happen. He was ushering in the reign of God. Satan was not about to stand for that. Something had to be done to get eyes and ears off of Jesus and his message. A distraction was needed, and there was a person there who could do the job. Mark has set the scene up for us so that we do not get confused. There was a man in the synagogue there who was possessed by an evil spirit. If we didn't know that, and that the evil spirit was speaking through him, we might not know what to think about his words. "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." He, that man, surely recognized that Jesus had authority. He's certainly deferential in his words. "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And he uses a new messianic title that we could certainly spend time debating, that certainly fits with the Old Testament witness to the Messiah, but is an extension of what we find there. It was all so correct, but so distracting. Every head in the synagogue turned from Jesus to the man possessed by the evil spirit. In many ways, the words were so deferential and so pious and so intended to get Jesus off message and get the people of the synagogue looking somewhere else. In our first mission assignment so many years ago, our family lived in Asmara, Eritrea. There was a Marxist revolution and a civil war for independence going on at the same time, and those were trying times. Once each week, we and our Swedish missionary colleagues would meet to study the scriptures and pray about the many situations that we could do nothing about. Sometimes we would meet at the home of our Swedish nurse, Ingrid. our daughter Anne, who was a bit more than 2 years old at the time, that was her favorite place to meet. You see, Ingrid had a Siamese cat whom Anne dearly loved. No matter how long we met, Anne would be completely content petting the kitty, following him around the house, making sure that he was well cared for. One day we had just finished our meeting. The doors and windows were open as usual because of the climate in that beautiful sunny land. Two young men came into the house, and every one of us thought that they had come to see someone else in the room. But suddenly they drew pistols, and they ordered us all to sit down. They said that the Eritrean Liberation Front was running short of medicines in the field, and they had come to clean out the clinic supplies which Ingrid was storing in her home. One of them would guard us and shoot us if there was any resistance, while the other would take what they wanted. But you know how cats are. They are not afraid of strangers. They are perhaps overly friendly. And so it was in this case. The cat saw a man with long trousers, and the cat was right there rubbing against his legs with Anne right behind him, trying to catch the kitty, hold him in her lap, and continue the petting which the kitty absolutely needed. I found that you have curiously mixed emotions as a person who is holding a gun on you steps to the left and to the right and forward and backward, trying to get away from a cat and the little girl who is following him. Finally, he got tired of it all, and he told me to pick her up. Hey, I'm not stupid. I picked up the cat, and then catching Anne was easy. For Anne, you see, there was only the kitty. Her eyes were fixed completely on him. These men who had entered our lives to trouble us and threaten us with harm did not exist at all, or at least did not matter. They were only distractions. The real fact of the matter was that there was a kitty who was a friend and a companion and who needed the love and care that only a little girl could give him. That's a very powerful relationship that very few things can interfere with. No distractions there. So how do you deal with the demons? As Mark tells the story, it all centers in Jesus. Jesus immediately sizes up the situation and ends the distraction. "Be quiet," Jesus said. "We're not going to be debating in this synagogue the messianic agenda or timetable." And immediately Jesus dealt with the root of the problem. Jesus said sternly, "Come out of him." The kingdom of Satan cannot hold its ground against the word of the Lord. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him. All eyes are again on Jesus. And he is the center of the story. What is this? A new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him? News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. The kingdom of Satan cannot and will not prevail. In Jesus, God has the victory, and we have forgiveness and life. I do not know what distractions will come into your life or mine to try to take our eyes off of Jesus today. Perhaps it will be something from our past, hurts and anger that we have not been able to put behind us. Perhaps it will be something from our tension-filled present or our fearful futures. Perhaps it will be something outside or even inside. Who can begin to describe all the problems, all the evil that wants to take our eyes off Jesus and his life-giving, sin-forgiving work for us. No matter, Jesus is there for his people, and in him we have forgiveness and life. And that's news that needs to spread quickly from here over this whole region. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.